You're listening to Industry Iowa, presented by CIRIS, the Center for Industrial Research and Service. Here's your host, Stephen Wilson.
All right. Well, hello, Melissa.
Hello,
welcome,
Steve,
to Industry Iowa. Little did you know, well, you did know. Little did you know you were joining me this morning in studio, your studio, my studio, however we want to call it. But thanks for being on Industry Iowa.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, I think, Melissa, you've been on one of the previous episodes, right? Melissa is with CIRIS, has been with CIRIS for a few years now. So, Melissa, reintroduce yourself to everyone that may not have known, that do not know who you are.
So I have been with CIRIS. It'll be 12 years in August. Previous to working for CIRIS, I worked for the federal government, which is how I come by the role of working with this cybersecurity that we're going to talk about today. I do a lot of work with companies in supply chain across the state, and I run a program called Supplier Scouting. So helping companies match them up to their, you know, needs that they have, whether it's a new supplier or a material shortage. I do a lot of different things, and I find a lot of joy in helping companies with the knowledge that I have.
Yes, a lot of different things. That's that other additional duties as assigned, right?
Yes.
So, all of the cybersecurity and all of that we're going to be talking about. Let's start with a simple, straightforward one for some, but others not. What is CMMC why was it created?
Yeah, so it is, the CMMC is the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification. It is a framework that was put in place to ensure that companies were actually doing what they say they were doing when they sign their government contracts, or they may not have a government contract, they may be a subcontractor. But essentially, in those government contracts, there are clauses that state you must have a certain level of compliance. You must protect the data that you're receiving from the government when you receive it in your organization. And so the CMMC was created to ensure, it's kind of like that hammer. They were trusting that you were doing this, and now they have a hammer to come in and verify that you're doing this.
Yeah, that's excellent. I thought about it as you're talking about, you know, with ISO, right? ISO, you just say we're doing it, right? Now, there can be some additional audits and things, but there's not as much to make sure that you are, in fact, doing what you are saying that you are doing. So
very, very similar. When I look at CMMC and the compliance the regulatory compliance, it's very similar to a lot of those compliance programs. And so one of the things that always sticks out to me when I start working with a company is, if you are ISO compliant or ISO certified or AS9100 compliant or certified, registered, that's a good indicator that you understand what it means to not only document what you're doing, your policies and procedures, but that you actually do them.
Yeah. And that's so important. And how long ago was this new process introduced, this new step?
So the rule for having a compliance program and protecting the government data has been around since 2017. Mm-hmm. So it is not new. The Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification is newer. That framework is newer. They went into final rule last November, which kind of rolls out how the government, and when I say the government, the contracting offices can put special requirements in the contract for it. But what I really like to emphasize, this is not new. You should have been doing this if you have access to what they call controlled unclassified information, CUI, mm-hmm. and for manufacturers, that can look like technical drawings. I talk about this a little bit when I do presentations. technical drawings have what they call distribution statements. So that means they're labeled as to who can see them, who can view them. Is it open to anybody and everybody? Then that's distribution statement A. But if it's a distribution statement B through F, which has export control in there, only US citizens, only the government, those are different levels of who can see the data. That is where it becomes CUI, especially in the defense space. So if you have these drawings in your organization, and I know there's a lot of companies out there that do, you need to be CMMC certified to level two, which is a pretty, that's a pretty high bar.
So you've already begun to talk a little bit about why manufacturers should care about CMMC. What are some of the other reasons why they should even be concerned about it?
Yeah, so when you have access to this data, you probably have a contract, right? Or you are executing as a subcontractor under a contract. For example, there are some big defense vendors out there, just Boeing, Lockheed, Collins. They usually are the recipients of these big contracts with government data. And then they share those drawings with subcontractors, right? We have a lot of vendors, companies in the state of Iowa who are subcontractors under those big defense contracts. And what happens is they don't often see those government contracts or the clauses. But the large primes, Collins, Boeing, General Dynamics, they do. And they assume that you're reading those clauses. They usually put them on their website, right? Hey, these are the clauses you need to be that pertain to the information we're feeding to you. You need to have these, you need to know what this means for your business, and you need to ensure that you are compliant. And so we're seeing a lot more movement because the government is rolling out this CMMC kind of in a phased approach. And so what they're doing is they're saying, hey, in order for you now to even bid on this contract or to receive this contract, you have to be CMMC level two, which is a really difficult, time intensive, lots of policies and procedures, lots of documentation. It's very nuanced and it can be very expensive. And so what they're saying now is if you don't have that, you may not be able to even bid on a contract. So it's really putting everybody at attention.
Okay. So again, so if any company, not just manufacturing, but if a company ignores that, and they're saying that's, there's definitely some consequences to that, your ability to do business.
Yes.
And I would see, are you seeing then these consequences creating a sense of urgency a little bit more with companies?
Yeah. So the consequences can be, one, you can lose business, right? Which is a pretty big consequence if you're very invested in that market. The other thing is what they call the False Claims Act. You haven't, if you are signing this contract, you're saying that you have read it, you understand what the terms and conditions mean. Mm-hmm. And if you have CUI in your organization, that you are taking the proper actions to protect it. And if you are not doing that, they have something called the False Claims Act. And we've seen some movement on this where whistleblowers can come in and report organizations who are willingly not doing the right thing. And there is financial incentive from the federal government to report these organizations. So I say that not to scare people, but to say, do the right thing.
Yeah.
Try to understand what the requirements are. That's one of the things we're trying to do at Cirrus is get the information in front of you, help you find knowledgeable providers, because it does matter who you use. I look at it right now, it's kind of like a little bit of a feeding frenzy. The what I call the talking heads on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
A lot of the people in the technical space have been circling in the waters, waiting for this moment when they're, you know, the big opportunity to for people to come to them to buy their product and their knowledge.
Yeah.
and it's expensive. And so what I've tried to do is bring some common sense to that and say, you know, work with companies to vet them to make sure they understand, hey, not in Iowa. We're not going to let you bankrupt our companies. We want to find companies who know what they're doing and can help them take those steps in a common sense fashion, right? Because it can be quite expensive. It can be an investment of up to $100,000, which is, as you know, working with manufacturer. I mean, for any small business, for any business, that's not insignificant.
No, it's not. And you, a little bit of a segue there. You talked about, right, any business. So, I mean, potentially all companies are affected by CMMC, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And I would also think then reason why they should not ignore, right, because they possibly could be excluded out of supply chain discussions. Mm-hmm. And let's not lose sight of the cybersecurity risk itself.
Absolutely.
Right. That's got to be the primary reason, not just because you have to, but in the sense of all these other regulations, but it's just it's a wise thing to do. You talked a little bit about what you're doing. How else does Cirrus? I'm not going all, hey, we're selling Cirrus now, but talk about what else does Cirrus do to help these organizations navigate this?
Yeah. So what I try to do is I try to set up, so we have a team of Apex Accelerator counselors, and these are government contracting experts who, you know, help companies navigate the market, whether it's federal or state and local. And so what happens is they may get a company who's interested in entering that defense market. And there's a lot of them right now. We're seeing a huge uptick in interest in that market. There's a lot of money to be earned in that market. And so what I usually try to do, I'm the point of contact at Cirrus for cybersecurity, is I try to have a one-on-one with them to help them determine, first of all, do you need this, right? Because I want it to be a good business decision for you. I don't want you to go investing in something that it makes absolutely no sense for you to invest in, right? Yeah. We want this to be a good decision for your business. Is it a good decision to have good cybersecurity practices? 100%. However, in the 9 years that I've been following this, that often it doesn't have quite the effect or the, you know, persuasion to get people to act than, hey, I might lose some revenue, or hey, I'm losing out on business opportunities. So I see more engagement because of the possibility of entering new markets or losing revenue. And so what I will do is I'll talk to them, find out, is this a good fit for you? You know, do you have access to CUI? Are you currently managing or handling CUI? If you are, I will tell you immediately to, you know, what some of the resources are that you can use. Obviously, Cirrus, and you can go one-on-one, but also there are some resources that are of no charge to you. And that, when I'd like to mention that, and that is Project Spectrum. It's no charge to the client. However, we have all paid for this. This is taxpayer-funded program from the Office of Small Business Programs. And so it is a program that's out there that's supposed to help companies understand CMMC. They have a website. You can go out and check it out. They have some tools. They will even, I've done a few projects with them where through that Apex Accelerator program, we can help them one-on-one. What I will tell you is if you're looking to fast track this, that is not the solution for you. It will offset the cost. But you probably should have started doing this a year or two ago, because it takes that long to, you know, get all, you meet one-on-one with a counselor or an administrator from Project Spectrum, and he walks you through each of the requirements and helps you understand what does it mean for you. And I just went through that with a client in Eastern Iowa, and it took us a year to get through all of those requirements. So it is not a fast track option.
What would a typical, if they were willing to kind of fast track, what does that look like time-wise?
Yeah, so it's going to vary. It's going to vary based on what is your environment look like. Do you have, you know, how many users do you have? What Are you a manufacturer? Are you a software company? We've had a couple of software companies who have come in and they're able, there's another resource out there where you can plug into a virtual environment. They are already CMMC level 2 certified. You just basically inherit those credentials. You have to do your own work for your own local environment, but it's all virtual. It's a pretty quick, but not inexpensive option. I think that company said all in, they paid around $47,000 to inherit and, you know, do the policies and procedures. That company actually opted to not only plug into that, but they actually opted for a one-on-one consultant to help them understand what that meant to them, which I thought was really smart, right? They're not just trying to inherit. They're also trying to understand, what does that mean for my business? Traditionally, though, we're seeing some of those solutions enter the market, which I think is fantastic. I'm here for the disruption, the disruptors, and finding a way to make this more affordable. Sirius is doing some of that, where we're doing a cohort for level one. You can do level one by yourself, right? It's a easier, lower bar requirement. Yeah. But if you want someone to walk you through that and make sure you understand it, we're working with a consultant. And we're doing that. That's in July. If people want more information, feel free to, we can put that in the notes, or we can share it. But trying to figure out, how can we make this achievable for our companies? Because I want our companies to have the opportunity to compete in that market. And it can look different for, it's really hard to say what it looks like, but it can be pretty intense. You have to develop policies and procedures. What happens when an employee leaves? What happens if you get new devices? It's all of those plus many more.
Let's talk about misconceptions, because I'm sure there are many. There always will be. But what would you identify as some of the biggest misconceptions about CMMC that you've been experiencing and seeing?
That's a good question. I think, what are the misconceptions? Number one, just because you become CMMC level 2 or CMMC level 1 and you go in and you assert that, or you certify that in the government system, it doesn't mean you're guaranteed any government contracts, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where it's really important to understand your market. And I think your Apex Accelerator is a key player in that, and helping you see, where are those opportunities and is this a good business decision for you? I think the other thing that is a misconception, I think if you think that this is DIY, do it yourself, I would ask you to think a little bit harder on that and maybe talk with someone like me to find out. And here's why I say that. Since for the last few years, I've worked with a couple of different consultants in the cybersecurity industry. All of them very focused on CMMC. And I want to make that distinction, because there's cybersecurity and then there's the CMMC requirements, that NIST SP 800-171. And it lays out all of those requirements. It's a very nuanced, very specific requirement or group of requirements. It would be very similar to me going to a dentist or a general practitioner for my heart, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want a GP operating on my heart, because my heart is a very specialized organ, and I want somebody who's a cardiologist who's trained in that. I'm not saying that general cybersecurity can't help you, but you really want, if you have a managed service provider who does your IT support, you want to ask them, are you familiar with the cybersecurity maturity model certification? Do you know what that means? They probably know, you know, they know more than me probably about cybersecurity. I'm not a, full disclosure, I'm not a cybersecurity expert, right? I'm just here to help.
Nor did you stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, right? So
No. But it's understanding that, you know, it's very specific and very nuanced, and you want someone who's been following that so that they can help guide you correctly towards that solution. So really important that you find the right fit. We have had companies who we've done boot camps, we've done, you know, videos, we've done training, all to help you understand what that requirement it looks like, because nobody wants to go on and spend $100,000 and not know what they're buying, right?
Correct.
Nobody wants to spend $10,000 and not know what they're buying. So we've done a lot of education in the last few years to try to, you know, break it down in simple layman's terms. Our manufacturers are fantastic at what they're fantastic at. Cybersecurity probably isn't it, right? A lot of companies outsource IT support. They just don't have that in-house. That's very common for our small businesses. So, even with all of that training and some of the boot camps we've done, what we've found is I even had a company that I was talking with a few months ago, very savvy. They understand the requirement and they came back to me. This was back in the earlier part of the year, like February, March. And they just came back to me yesterday and said, you know, we thought we were going to do this ourselves because we have, you know, the knowledge, we've understood, but as a small business, we just don't have the capacity. And so we want to find a partner who can help guide us through that. So that I think is a misconception. 100% you should understand what you're buying, right? Anytime you're investing significant amount of money, please work to understand what you're buying so you're not oversold. And I try to help with that. But also understand this, if you have a partner in it, it'll go a lot faster. And so if you're looking for that fast track, 100% you're going to want an implementation partner, and we can help guide you to, you know, some that are reliable that can help you with that.
Yeah. So again, there's no organization that's too small, right? Now, some would say, hey, this is an IT problem. Is that an accurate statement? How would you?
No, I think it's a business problem. I think that is a misconception. Thank you for pointing that out, right? You need buy-in from the top. This isn't something, and I've seen that as well, where, you know, they send their guy who is IT savvy, they send them to the training and they say, you know, get sped up on this. And then it's your job to get us compliant. And this guy's like, okay, this is just my other duty as assigned. And I still have this, the operations manager as well. And, you know, and so it's really helpful if you have someone with that internal knowledge in your organization, really helpful, but you're going to need buy-in from your leadership. The leadership has to actually sign off, you know, on the level one, which is that basic cybersecurity. They have to go in and assert in a government system that, yes, we are indeed in compliance with these factors. And so as a leader, I don't know about you, but I want to know what I'm asserting to or certifying to if I'm going to sign my name in a government system, right? We want to make sure that we're
right. Right. And I would think that there might also be some saying, you know, hey, right now we don't have any contracts that require it, so we'll cross that bridge when it comes. But given the fact that the time that it takes.
Yes.
That would be.
Yeah, I think that is a great point. And I hear this a lot. And what I've also seen in the last 6 months. So I've talked with many people over the last several years, and some of them that came to me last year and said, well, I think I want to enter that defense market, but you know, I'm not really there yet. They're back and they are now urgently, hey, I want to move the needle. Well, it takes time, right? And, you know, it begins with scoping your environment. What makes sense for your organization? Where is that information, that CUI? Again, it all relates to where that CUI and FCI, federal contract information, where that's going to flow into your organization. And that's, if you can keep that, my one tip would be, if you can keep that limited. And this can be very hard for a manufacturer who might have travelers traveling through the organization and, you know, hard copy. But if you can keep that limited, that will limit the cost that you have to pay to basically make your organization compliant. It's all about creating that environment that makes sense. But also along those same lines, I will tell you, make sure you're thinking big enough and looking forward, because if you decide to scope a very small environment and then realize right after you've been certified, so you go in, you scope your environment, you do what you need to do to make your environment compliant, and then somebody comes in and it's called a third party assessor. And this is the big change with CMMC, is you now have these third party assessors that get paid a lot of money to come in and say, yep, you meet this, you meet this. And they're looking for artifacts and they're looking for, evidence that you have done what you've said you are doing to be compliant to these requirements. And those assessments, I call them audits, but they call them assessments. I wish they would call them audits, but I don't get to make the rules. Those assessments can be anywhere from $15,000 to $40,000 plus, depending on the environment, right? Yeah. And so for this, I think for the company who did the Enclave situation where it was, they plugged into that level two, I want to say it was around $14,000 for them to be assessed. And then check, you got that. But here's what happens. If you make a change to that environment, guess what? You have to be reassessed.
So think, okay.
This is not a, please don't rush into this. Please think this through. Like, is this the environment we want to, does this make sense for some future growth?
Yeah.
You do have to be reassessed every 3 years you have to be reassessed. But you don't want to grow out of that instantly, right? If you're spending $30,000 or $15,000,
yeah,
that's a lot of money.
You want that to last the 3 years.
Oh my gosh,
and
yes.
You've touched on it a little bit already with leadership and leadership buy-in. And you and I know both the value of people and culture and all of these things. What role do people, culture, play in cybersecurity?
What role do people play? I mean,
and just the culture of the organization, what role can they play in this?
Well, as far as the role people play, we are the weakest link. 99% of we had an FBI cyber crimes guy come and talk to us at an event. 99% of cyber incidents are because of human error. We click on something, we go to a website we're not supposed to, we open an email, we do something, 99% they attribute. So make sure your people, part of it is training, right? Make sure we're training our people what that looks like and how to avoid it. And, you know, as far as the culture, I think we have to be willing to be, you know, to be open to this, right? Because if you have people who do not, you need buy-in. And, you know, so you need to explain to them what's in it for me, right? And what's in it for them is job security, because if we don't have revenue coming into our organization, that's not a good thing, right? We want to continue to stay relevant. We want to continue to stay vibrant. So, you know, as far as culture, I think it's really important when you implement any change in an organization, you always, and this is a Simon Sinek, start with why,
mm-hmm.
right? Make sure your people know why we're doing this. And then it's just, you can't just, you have to kind of ease it out over time. Change management. We do a lot of that at Cirrus where is it APCAR?
Yeah, ADCAR.
ADCAR. Yeah. I haven't had the change management training, but I think I would really like it, because I highly agree with the fact that it's a process, right? We have to make sure we get buy-in from our people, because if our people are our biggest weakness, we have to make sure they're our biggest strength and proponents to support us in success.
I chuckled there because, being the father of six, I recognize APCAR is a score that you give a child just after birth.
I knew it was something.
You knew it was something. Yeah, APCAR score. Yeah. Right. ADCAR. Hey, let's come up with one for APCAR. I'm sure there's a change management program we could come up with that. So a little bit of rapid fire here. Where should a manufacturer start if they think that CMMC applies to them?
I would say send me a note. You can send me an email at mmbarant@iastate.edu. Get linked up. Or if you can't find me, I'm on LinkedIn. Anyone at Sirius can get you to me. My name is Melissa Barant. Say you have a question about cybersecurity, and we'll get hooked up and set up a one-on-one to talk with you about what might be appropriate for your organization.
And that is Sirius@iastate.edu. You can also just go right out to the website there, see some other things as well. Biggest challenges manufacturers are facing when pursuing this compliance?
Cost. It's very costly. And I mean, it's a challenge, right? And so what we're trying to do to overcome that is we're with this cohort we're doing in July is we're bringing in one of our engineers who's very familiar with industrial environments, because I think there's a gap. Well, I know there's a gap. We've got our experts in cybersecurity, but they're not necessarily experts in manufacturing, right? And so I've heard a story from one company who said, this has cost me a lot of money. And part of the reason it's cost me so much money is that the guys who were helping me weren't necessarily talking. We weren't having the discussions because there's solutions that we implemented that we didn't have to, you know, they were reading it by the book, and there were other ways. So we're trying to kind of bridge that gap by bringing in one of our engineers to help talk through some common sense solutions. And I think you're going to see that's going to continue. This is relatively new, although it's not new. I think we're seeing people jumping into it with more speed than they were in the past. And so I think there's going to be a lot more lessons learned coming out in the future.
Yeah. Again, if some are, I'm guessing, maybe overwhelmed by it all. How can small, medium-sized manufacturers prepare without being overwhelmed by it all? Again, just reaching out, connecting with you initially?
I would say, yeah, reach out to me. We can have a conversation. Make sure it's a good fit for you. I'm going to tell you, if you're doing anything in the aerospace industry, it's probably a really good fit for you. If you're doing anything in the defense industry, or you want to, it's going to be a necessity. So please reach out. You know, we're trying to create opportunities for you that will help you there. One of the other things I'm going to point out, though, too, is we're also working really hard to try to find and identify sources of funding that might help offset cost. We're gonna try some things. There are some community college dollars that the state of Iowa has that might be able to help you with some of the training costs. We are looking at the Department of War to see if they might have some programs, and there are some things under, I think it's the Department of War Mentor Protege Program, where if you're a protege, the mentor can help you, and you can be they can be reimbursed. So we are trying to think outside the box and actively seek funding that will help offset the cost of this. So start with us, talk to us, and you know, we'll work together to try to help you get across that finish line.
Would that probably be the one piece of information or advice that you would give to someone with regards to CMMC and cybersecurity, is to reach out, to connect?
Yeah, I will never say no to a conversation. I probably should say no sometimes. it's my fatal weakness, is I don't say no enough. However, I'm always happy.
And that's why you're on today's episode of Industry Iowa.
Yes. But yes, please, reach out to me. We can set up a discussion and see what that looks like for you. If you're a provider in the state or in that market, reach out. I'd love to hear more, because I'm always actively seeking new providers. We did an RFP last year and we did not get the response that we hoped for because we're Iowa State University. We have to go through a process for bringing onboarding new suppliers, vendors. So, but I'm always open to the conversation.
Excellent. Very good. Closing comments, Melissa?
No, just thanks for the opportunity, Steve. I appreciate you hosting this and sharing this. And, you know, here's to a more secure, vibrant manufacturing base in Iowa.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Industry Iowa. Take care.